This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
So, Hutch, president of the Labor Party, what role is that? I know Michael Kroger plays a let's call it a fairly involved role in the Liberal Party in pre-selections and behind the scenes. Pretty political, pretty factional.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, do you do that?
Look, I think the first thing to say is that it's a volunteer role. Yep. That's elected for a 2-year term. And it really, fundamentally, for me, it's around making the party more inclusive, the party more transparent, because it's a governance role primarily. It's in effect chairing the committee of management, which we call the administrative committee.
So it's a bit like the board.
Yeah.
Or the council.
Correct. Indeed. Yep. And there's four kind of key parts, apart from chairing that on a monthly basis and the executive on a fortnightly basis. There's chairing the state conference, which is a major supreme decision-making part of the organisation.
And you had that last weekend, didn't
you? That's right, yeah, two weekends ago. We had 2 days where we talked about what are the policies that have come from grassroots members to feed into. So we're starting to think, you know, we're just short of 18 months from the next state election. So, you know, party members are starting to feed into that process, and we're also looking at the rules of our party. So we're a constantly kind of evolving party, and it's an opportunity for the grassroots members to kind of feed into what they want their party to look like. So they're the kind of three key elements of the role, and separate from that, there's also a campaign committee. So part of my role is to kind of oversee us going into the next state election. You know, we're continuously campaigning. We've got our candidates and members that are speaking to members of the public every day of the week, and particularly on weekends like this, you'll bump into hopefully your local member at the street stalls and the like, you know, talking about the issues of the day, because we know that people, you know, make up their minds over time. They don't really just do it just prior to the election.
So in terms of, so this is the Victorian Party, so the Victorian government.
Correct.
In terms of a federal campaign, is that run, that's run by
the National Office.
By the National Office. But how much, I mean, how much input, say, do the state branches get? I'd imagine it has to be pretty significant because each state is different.
Indeed. And we've got a lot of volunteers that we contribute to federal campaigns. We've got office space that we make available, and we've obviously got a deep knowledge of our state just as every other state does. So that feeds into the national campaign. So it's a very hand-in-glove kind of approach. It's a joint partnership between the National Office and the state branch, as it is with every other party.
And Hutch, I don't want to make a huge issue of this, but you are actually a very unique person in that.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, well, you're gorgeous, but apart from that, you are actually Muslim and you are lesbian.
Indeed.
And I'm interested in your experience.
Well, hang on, no. We need to, because we read the list off at the start that we thought it ticked all the boxes. So,
yeah.
Married.
Mother. Lesbian. Muslim.
Turkish. What else have we missed?
I think that's it.
It's a good start.
I've got a hearing aid too. So just hearing aid.
Disability.
There you go. So six. So,
But what I'm interested in is how, you know, what's been your experience? Have you actually experienced any discrimination in any form? Is it alive? And often these days it's quite covert. I mean, I often, even myself, who am as Aussie as every other Aussie, but I have a long Greek name, do see the covert nature of racism. Mm. But I'm interested in your experience in the party context.
Sure. No, look, you're right. I'm the first person in the party's 125-year history, whether man or woman, to be of an ethnic background or a Muslim background. And
congratulations.
In terms of being an out person from the GLBTI community. And when people often ask me why I've gone for this role, that history behind and knowing that there hadn't been someone of an ethnic background even in a party that we had predominantly had people of non-ethnic background, and I'm the sixth woman who to hold this position in the 125 years, and the first person, male or female. So for me, it was, you know, you can't be what you can't see. And so, you know, as someone who's been a long-term advocate for gender equality and greater diversity in leadership positions, you know, I couldn't not step up and sort of take this opportunity. And, you know, I've had, you know, the Labor Party isn't a perfect party.
Of course.
You know, and whenever people try to step out of what their expected roles are, people try to put you back into line. And I had an experience, you know, in my early 20s where I wanted to be put forward as a state conference delegate. And I had one of the factional power brokers who that was going to upset his kind of balance and in terms of who he wanted up. And
how is Stephen?
And, you know, he kind of stalked me and tried to get me to intimidate me, really, in terms of withdrawing my candidacy, and I refused to do so. You know, ended up kind of harassing my mother at a funeral.
Ooh.
You know, it kind of, you know, calling me at work. Ooh. And trying to contact me, and really kind of intimidatory behaviour. And, you know, if you kind of let that happen, you let the bullies win.
But that's a numbers thing, though. That's not really about, you know, you, your sexuality, your your ethnicity, your identity.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm interested in,
sure,
in exploring.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, it's...
Because let's face it, I mean, a lot of the members of the Labor Party have a strong union background, often white blokes, middle-aged white blokes, like us, unfortunately.
Yep.
You know, who often come from very specific stereotypal background. Has that...
Yeah, look, I think it's the combination of, in that case, being a woman who was almost getting out of her, jumping above her station in one way, I think, in that regard. I haven't experienced racism within the Labor Party. I think it's not to say people don't experience that, and so I don't want to diminish that experience, but for me personally, it's predominantly been around looking at the systemic structures, and that's where affirmative action's been really useful to make sure that women do come forward for matters. And I think people, it's been great and humbling to have a lot of, you know, I had a Bangladeshi young woman say, you know, at the time of my election last November, there was a lot of, you know, the polling had come out about 50% of the population, you know, doesn't want Muslims in Australia. And so for her, this was an affirmation that a major institution in Australia was, you know, electing someone of Muslim background to be in a leadership position.
Mm.
And so it's been positive in that regard in terms of being a role model and for people to kind of see and aspire and know that there is a place for women. And I think we act as a contrast to my counterpart, Michael Kroger, in that regard, where at the same time there was, you know, whether it was going to be Peter Reith or Michael Kroger. So, you know, two old white middle-class men for a position.
We wanted Michael.
We didn't had a campaign out from here.
Oh, look, you know, the thought of Peter Reith, you know, GMA.
Hutch, from everything I can see and observe, you've stood for diversity, you've stood for inclusion, you've stood for you know, leadership and trying to support people to come forward who, you know, who are different, who aren't part of the mainstream.
Mm.
What would you like your legacy to be when your time as president of the Queen Labor Party is up?
Yeah.
Looking back, you know, if you can look forward and look back, what would you like to see your legacy be?
Yeah, look, primarily the role of the president is really seeing the administrative side of the party and how it works and how it's more inclusive of the membership and the opportunities for people to participate. One of the things we're exploring at the moment is a mentoring program.
Wow.
I think it happens informally in a way which predominantly advantages young men in the apprenticeship they get within politics. So one of the things we're looking at the moment is establishing a mentoring program, both for people who are campaigners, because if we keep on having the usual suspects involved in campaigning, we're going to get the same outcome.
Same old.
We need to campaign in every corner of our community, whether it's people talking to their tennis club or or not in Margaret's case, or you know, going out to their mothers' groups or going out to you know the RSL, whatever groups that they're involved in. It's those community conversations. And so we're about to launch next Thursday a women's organising network, for example,
fantastic,
to kind of formalise those structures and empower women with campaigning skills.
Fantastic.
So that's one of the key things. I think fundraising is something we need to do better. As a party, you know, these days people kind of donate in small amounts rather than large amounts, and you know, the Liberal Party often is a beneficiary of that, the larger amounts. So we kind of want to get smarter about our campaigning and really to be a much more inclusive party and make sure that we've got people who can write and contribute to the policy process and to the campaigning process and to the governance of our party in a way which is going to ensure that we're a more appealing party in the long term. You know, making sure that our policies, then if people who are actually going to be impacted by it are involved in the process, then when we go back to the community come election time and say these are our policies, people go, oh, that reflects
that
my reality.
That speaks
to me. Yeah, it speaks to me. And we can only do that if we've got people involved in
Tash,
that process.
Up. Hutch, President of Victorian Labor Party, and I said Liberal Party then, my God. Because we're so used to having Comrade Kroger on. I think you both probably share same levels of anxiety in terms of, you know, wanting to get your party into power and occasionally getting frustrated with things that happen in the party. You know, whether it's pre-selections or rows about stuff. It's a bit hard to keep quiet about that sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, look,
It is for Michael.
Yes. I let things go through the processes and make sure people can get you justice and be able to have their say. And you know, we're having that discussion at the moment around we took a really strong stand last month at our administrative committee about branch stacking. You know, there were people who had joined up, and we gave people an opportunity to show that they were authentic members, and they didn't. And there was about 600 odd members that we had to refuse their applications.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah,
that's a
and
lot.
So we're you know, branch stacking has been a real cancer for the party, and we want to make sure that people who want to be in their party are genuine members.
Yep.
And so you know, we will. You know, we've had someone appeal that decision. That was in the media recently, but you know, that'll go through the disputes tribunal process that we have internal to the party, and I'll let that take its course. But you know, I make no apologies for standing up against branch stacking and leading a party which doesn't want that kind of nonsense in our party.
Good. Yeah. We have to go, Tass.
We do.
But we will have Hutch back in a couple of weeks. We'll have another chat, a bit of a longer chat. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for coming in to the
studio.
Thanks
for coming in.
No worries, Hutch,
great to see you.
Thank you heaps for my mug.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.